can use an interception. They can use a fumble, something. They need a game-changing play. The rush is coming. He's being chased. He's being sacked. D'Amico Ryans has him.
We welcome you inside the film room on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Bo Wolf with NFL Films, senior producer Greg Cosell, and we're going to break down the running backs today. And Greg, again, we're not going to just go down a composite rankings because who knows what teams are looking for at the running back position. Do they want that big bell cow guy? Or do they want a movable chess piece? It's tough to tell. So we're going to sort of break them into groups and go down the list that way. Now let's start with the guys who, if you are looking for a top of the draft foundational running back like Marshawn Lynch, who you can build your offense right around, who are the guys who fit that category?
Well,
here,
before we get to the specific guys, let's think of it this way. What has been the mantra the last couple of years? You can pretty much get running backs anywhere, correct?
That's right.
And last year, for the first time in a long time, no running back was taken in the first round. And my question in response to that, and there's no right or wrong answer here, is do you think that anybody could be Marshawn Lynch for the Seattle Seahawks? Could anybody be Adrian Peterson for the Vikings? I think when people say you can get backs anywhere, I think what they probably mean is you can get lesser backs anywhere. We saw Knowshon Moreno coming off a career year with the Denver Broncos and only signing a one-year contract with the Miami Dolphins because people understand he's not a foundation back. There's a lot of Knowshon Morenos, but there's not a lot of Marshawn Lynches. So now that gets to your point. If you want to build your offense around the run game, I think the consensus for a lot of people is that you have Carlos Hyde out of Ohio State and you have Jeremy Hill out of LSU because they're 230-plus pounds.
Right.
And I think the feeling is you need the big physical back who can do that. I would suggest strongly there's another back who can do that. Now, he's only 210 pounds, but I think his running style is really conducive to being a feature back and running in any offense. And that's Trey Mason from Auburn, who I really liked on film. And when I say he can run in any offense, I think he can run zone. I think he can run power. I think he can run out of base personnel where you hit it up in there. I think he can run out of spread. I think Trey Mason is a back that you could build your offense around. And for our older viewers, Bo, when I was watching him, he reminded me, believe it or not, of Billy Sims from Oklahoma, who played back in, 1980, 1981.
Sure.
Long time ago. But just running style, very low to the ground, didn't take a lot of shots. I think Trey Mason fits that category of a feature back. And there's another player who we left out here who I think fits into the category of a foundation back. I think most would view him as second tier compared to Carlos Hyde,
right,
and Jeremy Hill, and that's the Boston College back, Andre Williams, who was just an urgent, intense downhill runner. I wouldn't call him laterally elusive, but he's got a little more shiftiness than you might think. But this kid is a no-frills, take-no-prisoners downhill runner. And if you're looking to build your offense around a run game, I think that he's a guy you could draft probably, who knows, maybe in the third round. But I think this kid, you could give him the ball 20 times as a sustaining back if that's the way you want to play offense, because running the football, if you do it well, that allows you to control the pace and tempo of a game. And we'll see if teams now move in that direction based on what Seattle and San Francisco have done. So Andre Williams, I think, is an intriguing back in this draft.
And there's another guy who, from a small school, is maybe not quite that size, but you think is potentially good enough to be a foundation back, and that's Terrence West from Towson.
Yeah, he really intrigues me. And, I watched him on film. He's very compactly built. He's about 5'9", he's 225 pounds. He has the kind of build that holds up. Because he's really short, stout, as I said, low to the ground, runs with great pad level, showed a lot of NFL traits. He pressed the hole. He was physical. He had body lean. He was just a very good runner when you look at NFL traits. And he had enough lateral movement. Again, not explosive, but running back, when they start talking about 40-yard dashes and explosive, That's almost irrelevant for running backs because running back is really a confined space position. If you're going to be a feature back, you're running with a lot of bodies around you. You've got to be able to create in a small area. It's not about straight line speed and 40-yard dash time. You've got to be low. You've got to create in confined space. Terrence West is a very intriguing prospect in this draft.
And then there's a guy in Kadeem Carey who is not the size of those big foundational running backs, but he runs that way.
Yeah, and that's when I watched him, I liked him. But then I said to myself, again, we're transitioning and projecting to the NFL. I looked at him and said, wow, this kid's a tough runner. He's got some quickness. He made some people miss here and there. He's a tough kid. But he's less than 200 pounds. And guys who are less than 200 pounds, who are essentially contact runners, and he's a contact runner with, he has very good contact balance, but he's a contact runner. 198-pound backs are not feature backs in the NFL. So now Carey becomes a complimentary player, a guy that is nice to have on your roster, but you can't give that kid the ball in an NFL game 20 times a week.
And this is where you go beyond the tape, and it you know, it's not just who's the most productive guy. You're going production versus projection. And do you take a guy, if there are guys who maybe have similar skill sets, you probably lean towards the player who wasn't used as much because he's probably got more tread on the tires long term.
Possibly. I mean, that's a great point. Someone like Terrence West, who carried over 400 times last year for Towson.
Versus Jeremy Hill, who didn't carry that much and only played 2 years in college.
That's a great point. I don't know exactly how you factor that in. That's hard to say. You know, how many carries does a back have in his lifespan?
Right.
That's hard to know. So all you're doing is trying to evaluate skill sets. But I think talking about Carey, let's say, versus West, to me, West is a better prospect simply because he can be used as a feature back, whereas I don't believe Carey, as you project, and that's what we're doing, we're projecting to the league. I don't believe that Carey, as you project, fits that role.
All right, let's move on now to the running backs who are that more versatile guy, sort of the traditional third down back mold. You've called them sort of Matt Forte light. Now, they could be more, they could be less, obviously, but we're thinking of guys like Charles Sims, Marion Grice, who can catch the ball out of the backfield as well.
Yeah, I think those two guys come to mind. I don't think they're as good running the football as Matt Forte, but I think in terms of style and perhaps NFL utilization, you might see them the same way. The question you have with those guys, we know Matt Forte is a feature back. He's a little different feature back than Marshawn Lynch or Adrian Peterson because he has more multiple skills, but he's a feature back. The question becomes with Charles Sims and Marion Grice is, can they be feature backs? They're more like Matt Forte than they are Marshawn Lynch or Adrian Peterson, but are they good enough runners to truly be feature backs? Because when you designate a guy as your feature back, there are going to be games, Bo, in which it just plays out a given way, because sometimes you game plan a certain way and it doesn't quite work out exactly that way, where you have to say, hey, wait a second, this is a game now where we want to give the ball to that guy 25 times. So the question is, can you do that with Charles Sims? Can you do that with Marion Grice? I'm not sure you can, but they fit more into that category. And there's one other back who I think sort of fits this category as well, and that's Storm Johnson from UCF, who I really liked on film. He's another runner receiver. He's about 215 pounds. I'm not sure he's that guy right away. He might be able to evolve and develop into that guy with a few years of seasoning, coaching, and refinement in the NFL.
There's sort of a common story that has popped up throughout this NFL draft process. People saying they turned on the tape to watch Central Florida to watch Blake Bortles, and Storm Johnson is the guy who jumps out to them.
Yeah, and that's kind of true. And Storm Johnson, he's one of those guys, he's deceptively quick and shifty. When you first watch him, he doesn't jump off the film. You don't go, wow, look at this guy run. But the more you watch him, he's got not pure speed, but he got to the edge quite a bit. He's got some, he's more of like a slasher. He's not a guy who is a stop and start. He's not a LeSean McCoy type in the way he changes direction, where he stops and starts and does those kinds of things, but he's sort of a slasher in his movement. He can stick his foot in the ground and then change direction. So he's a very intriguing back in this draft, and he has that receiving ability, which is now very critical, as we know, for backs in the NFL.
How about the spread running backs, the guys who, as you've talked about, maybe one running back, three receiver sets, guys who play in space a little bit? Bishop Sankey, Lake Seastrunk are guys who fit that category?
Yeah, and that's the big question. There'll be a lot of people, I'm sure, that will have Seastrunk or Sankey as their number one or number two backs, and that's okay. I like Seastrunk more than Sankey, but I think then you have to figure out how do they get used in the NFL. Neither one of those guys could run the Seattle Seahawks offense. They can't. Those guys could not be dropped into Marshawn Lynch's role or Frank Gore's role and run those inside power runs. Those guys are more space players, and they're very good. In some ways, are they like Gio Bernard of the Bengals, who was drafted in the second round last year, and again, was not a feature back. We'll see what happens as his career goes forward, but Seastrunk, Sankey, they're better in space. They need space to be effective. I think Seastrunk's a little more explosive, but you hit it on the head. I think they're more functional in offenses that would use more of the spread type look, where you have one back, the tight end, and three wide. And I think those guys would fit much better in that kind of offensive scheme. I don't think they could be effective over a longer haul. Of course, I'm not saying they can't run power ever, but longer term, I don't think they're guys who you can hit it up inside with as the foundation of what they do.
Now, there are lots of different attributes and skill sets you look for at the position. What is it that James White does so well that jumped out to you?
Yeah, he was fascinating because, you know, when you watch a team like Wisconsin, you really get to see what you're going to see in the NFL. And James White, and by the way, he's got a lot of lateral quickness as a runner. He was so good in pass protection. I mean, I can see the plays in my mind now where he would step up aggressively with tenacity and competitiveness, and he would nail linebackers. He would just strike them. And that's a skill, as you know, Bo, any coach you talk to, when they talk about backs in this league, especially if you're going to play in obvious passing situations, the first thing they tell you is you've got to protect. And James White, of the backs that I watched on film, and it was a significant number, I thought he was the best pass protection back in this draft.
Now, we like to save maybe the most interesting player for last, and at the running backs, that's DeAnthony Thomas from Oregon, who obviously Eagles fans know about because they've followed what DeAnthony Thomas did with Chip Kelly, and he may not even be a running back in the NFL. He may be more of a receiver, but he is one of those movable chess pieces who you figure out a way to get him the ball in space.
That's what you'd like to do, and I think that you look at him, and obviously Tavon Austin, they're built very similarly. Austin was the, I think, eighth pick in the draft last year, top 10 pick for sure, and it didn't quite work out for any number of reasons. Obviously, the Rams lost their starting quarterback in Sam Bradford, but I don't think DeAnthony Thomas will get into the first round, but I think teams will look at him. And just the way you said, a player who could play 20, 25 snaps a game in different ways, and I think you have to be a little unconventional in how you use him. In some ways, we saw what Chip Kelly did last year with DeSean Jackson, lining him up at times in the backfield, lining him up at traditional wide receiver position. I think teams will look at DeAnthony Thomas the same way and see if they can create those explosion plays that could impact and change games. That's what the goal is with someone like DeAnthony Thomas.
And Dree Archer from Kent State is sort of a similar player.
You know, I mentioned Tavon Austin. You have Ace Sanders, who was with Jacksonville last year, who I believe was a fourth or fifth round pick.
Yep.
I think you try to find ways to get those players the ball, whether it's bubble screens, whether it's jet sweeps in the backfield, so they're in space. You're trying to create situations where they're in space when they get the ball, because you don't want to give them the ball in confined areas. They can't work there. They're too small. You want to get them the ball ideally on the move and then give them room right away. And I think that's, in some ways, that's the way the game is going. Chip Kelly may be in the forefront of that. More teams might do this, where they spread the field horizontally. They use all 53 and one-third yards of the field horizontally to create space for players like DeAnthony Thomas and Dre Archer.
All right, well, no matter what you're looking for at the running back position, there's plenty to choose from in this year's draft. Greg Kosoff from NFL Films breaks it down inside the film room.
They could use an interception. They could use a fumble, something. They need a game-changing play. The rush is coming. He's being chased. He's being sacked.